Our scripture for today is 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. Now, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked or was watching her mouth. Now, Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought that she had been drinking. Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away the wine from before you. Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have neither drunk wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said, Go in peace. The God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. I trust the Lord will have our hearts prepared for this old, familiar story, that it seemed like it would be a good one for us to look at on Mother's Day. Let's remain standing for prayer, shall we? Thank you, Father, again for your word. Thank you for this account that you have recorded in your word. We thank you for the faith of Hannah. We thank you for her trust in you. And we thank you for her integrity to make good on that which she vowed to you. She kept her word. Lord, so many times we find ourselves saying before you, I'll do this, I'll do that. But so many times, if we are honest, we don't keep our word. And I pray that this old familiar story would be a blessing and an encouragement and a challenge to each of us. Perhaps we're not going to find anything new in this story, but we are blessed by her love, her devotion, and the desire to give back unto you what you had blessed her with in the person of her son, Samuel. We thank you for the time here. We think of some of our own congregation. We think of Jerry Blowers and his weeks of recovery from this broken hip bone. We thank you that he has come along far enough that the caregivers believe he is going to be well enough to go home on Friday. He's anxious about that, Lord. He's fearful that he might fall again and be there alone with no one to be aware of what's happening. Pray that you would just lift his spirits, encourage him to keep looking unto you. And we think of Ernestine this morning, laying there in the intensive care unit. Lord, you know the severity of her condition, and we pray that you would work your will. We pray that you would remedy the problem that she has and begin to restore and strengthen her according to your will. The family and the doctors are quite concerned. And we pray, Lord, you might turn things around to your glory if you see fit. There may be others, Lord, that from our midst that are going through some deep trials, difficulties, you know them. But we pray that this day we would grow in you. We thank you for this now, and we look forward to what you have for us in your name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. We've chosen a familiar character to honor the mothers today. Among the many which could have been selected, I think Hannah surely is one of the most remembered. Before we actually get too far into the outline for you note takers that like to take notes, I want to give you, let's look at the, as a background, the unpleasant circumstances she found herself in. So before we go really any further, let's talk for a few minutes about the background that Hannah had. And for that, we look at the first 10 verses of 1 Samuel 1. And in these verses, we discover that there was a man. His name was Elkanah. He was a priest. And it tells us, beginning at verse 2, he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up to his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord on a particular day of the observances that the Jewish people remembered. And he would go to the city of Shiloh. Now the two sons of Eli were Hophni and Phinehas. They were priests of the Lord, and they lived there. And we see that when the time was that, verse 4, Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to her sons and daughters portions. We don't know what these gifts were. Something he would give to his wife and her children. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, or a bigger portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she, Hannah, wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is your heart so grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? I've just put this on hold. I'm just going to tell you, as long as I have known this story, I have often thought, Elkanah, open your mouth and stick your foot right in it. Talk about I'm sure in his mind he thought he was really making an astute comment to her. But I think about, your wife is heartbroken because she has no children. That's the last thing she needs to hear right now is, aren't I better to you than 10 sons? And the answer would be, no. Moving right along. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk, and Eli the priest sat upon a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. In these first 10 verses, by way of the unpleasant background, what do we discover in these first 10 verses? Number one, we find the account of a polygamous family. Not the best situation. I realize that throughout Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, we have examples of men who had more than one wife. It seems as though the law allowed that, but it was never God's intention, and it has never been God's best. It is the setup for strife, no matter what you may think about it. Here was a man who had two wives. One of them had been blessed by having children, and the other one was barren. We don't know how many years they had been married, but obviously numerous, because Peninnah had sons and daughters, so they had been married for some time, and Peninnah kept having children through Elkanah, but Hannah had none. And to make matters worse, number one, in the polygamous family, you have to share the husband's love with another woman. Not good. And then this other woman loved to rub it in and torment Hannah because she had no children. She made fun of her. She made life miserable for her. And so that is the background that we find. As we find here, it says that she provoked her. And in verse 6, she provoked her sore to make her fret. I wondered what fret meant. It means this. It means the inward commotion of the mind accompanied with moans and noise. She made Hannah fret. In other words, Hannah was so tormented inside that she was weeping, crying. She could not keep it all hidden within. And Peninnah, she was having a heyday with it. But Hannah was fretting over it. And we find here, in this setting, the background of this story, we're going to discover the strength and the makeup of the character of Hannah. We find Hannah in a situation where many would have become bitter because of the circumstances her home was. Home ought to be what? Home ought to be the best place on earth. Amen? Amen. Home ought to be where you find support, where you find encouragement, where you find devotion and dedication and love. But here, Hannah, her home was anything but a peaceful place because of the other woman who constantly was rubbing it in and making Hannah's life miserable. And in that situation, we discover her strength of character. Many would have become bitter. Many would have thrown in the towel. But in that situation, now as our background, we discover that Hannah displayed great faith. While her rival persecuted her to make her fret, ultimately, Hannah prayed in faith. I commend her for that. Now, having said that, for you note takers, number one in verse 11, let's notice the focus of her prayer. The focus of her prayer. Her prayer was quite unusual. We look at verse 11. She vowed a vow, said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your handmaid and remember me, and not forget me, but will give your handmaid a son, a man-child, I will give him unto the Lord. All the days of his life, I'll give him back to you. I just want a son. And not only will I give him to you all the days of his life, but I will dedicate him unto you in a special way. There shall no razor come upon his head. As we look at this, she prayed for a son. Was that uncommon, you think, in those days for a woman to be praying for a son? I don't think so. I think that was a common prayer among ladies. When a woman gets married, 99 out of 100, they can't wait until they have a child. That's just part of the woman nature. They want that child to nurture and to love and to care for. So the fact that she was praying for a son, that was not that uncommon. But that which was rare about her prayer was why she was asking the Lord for a son. Notice it doesn't say anything here in verse 11. Lord, will you give me a son so that Peninnah will shut her mouth and stop making me miserable? I'm tired of her harassment. You don't find anything about that. That wasn't what she was wanting the son for, to shut up the other woman. Although she might have thought that. She doesn't record it to the Lord. Her reason for asking the son was the intentions that she had regarding him. And what were those intentions? A, she wanted that son because she wanted to be able to give the son back to the Lord. And B, not only do I want to give him back to you, but I want him to be different for you, Lord. I want him to be a Nazirite. I want him to live a totally separated life for you. Nazirite. What's that? You say, well, is that somebody that lives in the city of Nazareth and they're a Nazirite? No. Numbers chapter 6 gives us most of the details that we have regarding the Nazirite vow that one could make to the Lord. It's an interesting chapter to read, and we find here that a Nazirite, this was a vow. Notice in verse, if you want to take your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 6, it tells us in verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when either a man or a woman separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazirite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall, here's what is involved in that. He will separate himself from wine and strong drink. He shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat fresh grapes or raisins, dried grapes. All the days of his separation, he will not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, and from the kernels even to the husk. Also, not only is he going to have restrictions on what he eats all the time that this vow is being made before the Lord, we see also that in verse 5, all the days of his vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days of the vow are over. He has to let his hair grow, or she, it says a man or a woman, as long as this vow is in force, no going to the beauty shop, no going to the barber shop. You just let the hair grow. Notice, in verse 6, also all the days that he separates himself unto the Lord, he shall not come in contact with any dead body. He'll not make himself unclean, even for his father or his mother, his brother, his sister, when they die. He's going to have to not touch. Somebody else is going to have to take care of the family member because he is separated to keep himself clean and pure unto the Lord. And we see here, all the days of his separation, verse 8, he is holy, separated unto the Lord. Now notice, if any man die very suddenly by him, and like maybe you're standing next to somebody and the guy croaks and falls against you and you're taking this vow, he's defiled his head of his consecration. And when that happens, he's going to have to shave off all of his hair. And the seventh day, he shall shave his hair. On the eighth day, he's going to bring an offering to the Lord. And notice, it mentions, as we go on, he brings that offering because whether it was intentional or not, he got defiled by coming in contact with this dead body. So he's going to have to make the offer. And here's the blinger in verse 13. And this is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of his separation were fulfilled, it's verse 12. He'll consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation. He'll bring the lamb of the first year, so and so. But the days that were before shall be what? Lost. They don't count. Because his separation unto the Lord got defiled. Well, there's more in the chapter, but we find here the descriptions of what Hannah dedicated in what she intended to do if God gave her a son. Her focus was what? In the focus of her prayer, let me ask you, was it for herself or was it for the Lord? You don't need to answer out loud, but I think you realize she so wanted a child to be able to give the child to the Lord. Now, I can hear some saying, yeah, but you know, saying one thing, that's fine, but then later on, following through when it really comes through. And we're all familiar with that, aren't we? We'll say one thing. You know, Lord, if you will, I will. Been there, done that, anybody? And she's made quite a promise to the Lord. She wanted a son so bad, not to hang on to, but to give back to the Lord. I wonder if she's going to keep her word. Well, in verses 20 through 28 of our text here in 1 Samuel 1, we see her faithfulness to her prayer. Her faithfulness to her prayer. And we look at verse 20. It says, it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, she bare a son and called his name Samuel because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifices and his vow, but Hannah went not up. For she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned, and then I'm going to bring him that he may appear before the Lord. And what's the rest of the verse say? And there abide how long? Forever. Whoa. She didn't go back on her word. We see here, she fully intended that when he was weaned, when the time would come, she said, when it's time, when he's weaned, I will take him to the Lord. I'm not going back to the temple until I can give him to the Lord. And her husband said, well, you do what seems good. Stay here until you've weaned him. Only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode, and she gave her son suck until she had weaned him. And so we see the focus of her prayer. We see the faithfulness to her prayer. How easy it could have been in those years that she was nursing him to become so attached to him that her motherly instinct and the motherly love could have kicked in, and Hannah might have just come to the point where she tells herself, I can't give my son up. I thought I could, but he has become so dear to me. Now that he's weaned, I can't give him up. How easy to convince herself that the Lord would want the boy raised by his mother rather than by an old man who had two grown sons. And that's who Eli was. He was the priest of the temple, the head priest. And when she gave him back to the Lord, here this mother was going to be turning over this just recently weaned son. How old would that have been? 2, 3, 4, whatever. Not very old, but she said, I want to give him back to the Lord. And she gave up her right to raise the son she had wanted so much. Oh, but remember, she didn't ask for it for her. She asked for it to give to the Lord. How easy to have had second thoughts. But I want you to notice in verses 24 through 28, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour, a bottle of wine, brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, brought the child to Eli. Now notice, she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that was standing here praying to the Lord. And this is the child I was praying. You thought I was drunk, but this is what I was praying for. And the Lord has given me my petition, which I have asked of him. Therefore, also I have, the King James uses the word lent. I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Wilson's Old Testament word study, this word lent means this. It means to return that which has been obtained by making a petition. To return that which has been returned or obtained. I got this by making a request, and I am returning it back to you, Lord. I ask you for him, and I'm returning him back to you. Chapter 2, we see here the record that she continued to confirm her decision about her son. Chapter 2 goes on, and we see that the mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. We find here she did not go back on her word. And every year she came to see her son, and she would bring him something to wear. Says that she made him a little coat. Well, children don't stay little forever. She had to keep bringing the next size bigger. And we find that mom would come and visit her son every year, but he stayed in the care of Eli the priest his whole life. Now, we've seen the focus of her prayer. She wanted a son, not just so she could say she had a son, but she wanted to dedicate that son, give that son back to the Lord. And she, secondly, she kept her word, which brings us number three, note takers, the follow-up to her prayer. In verses 20 and 21 of chapter 2, let's notice an unexpected blessing from the Lord. God did answer her prayer. He gave her a son, and she kept her word. She said, "Lord, I'll give him back. He can stay here. He'll be raised in the temple. He's going to learn all of the temple proceedings, and he's going to be serving you his whole life under the leadership of Eli the priest." But there was an unexpected blessing the Lord had for her. And we see it in verse 20 and 21 of chapter 2. And the Lord visited, Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan that is lent to the Lord." And they went unto their home, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and what? Bear three sons and two daughters in the years to come. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. To honor her faith and faithfulness and action of this woman and their husband, we see that the Lord blessed with more children. She asked God for one, and God gave her many. In return, she received three more sons and two daughters. What an example. As we think of this story, you say, "Yeah, that's right, Pastor. You didn't tell me anything new. I've heard this story my whole life." That's right. But what faith as we commend this woman to have such a devotion to the Lord that she was willing to give back to the Lord what she so longingly desired for years before the Lord blessed her. But to honor her faith, the Lord gave her others. As we think of this, in her helpless situation, what did she do in her helpless situation? In her problems. I mean, that other woman, she tormented her. But what do we see Hannah doing about it? Maybe you're in the midst of some difficulties. Oh, not a polygamous marriage life at home, but when you've got problems and so on, where do you take those problems to? She took it to the Lord. And we learn from that. She took it to the Lord and she prayed. The nature of her prayer was not just selfishly, motivated and consumed. She was praying for something to glorify the Lord with. May that be a part of our prayers. You know, it tells us in 1 Corinthians, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we are to do what? All to the glory of the Lord. She certainly did, and we learn from that. The prayer was from her heart. It was genuine as she kept her word and promise to him. We close with Psalm 66, verses 13 through 15, where we see this. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifice of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks of goats. I will keep my word. If anything we can learn from Hannah, may we be challenged this morning by the example and the importance of keeping our word when we make a promise to the Lord. She kept it, and God blessed her. Let's close in prayer. How we thank you, Father, for this truth. We thank you for this story. We thank you for her example. And humanly speaking, we think it was probably hard for her to let that little one go. But she loved you and wanted to be a woman of her word. May this encourage each of us to keep our promises to you so that you might get all the glory. We thank you for this now in your name. Amen.